I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and many years with the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. We turn to France. There's a two-part election. The first has happened, in which candidates come forward and you must reach the 12% group mark, and then you're a candidate for the runoff, which happens the next Sunday, July 7th. As I understand it, this is a time of much negotiation because there are three major blocks. There's the so-called far-right bloc, that would be the National Rally. There's the so-called left bloc, they don't call it far-left, led by Mr. Sarkozy and others. And then there's Emmanuel Macron's bloc, none of the above bloc, led by Mr. Macron. It's roughly 33-28-20. However, in the final analysis, one or another of the candidates in individual constituencies can drop out, pushing his votes to someone chosen. The reason this is so complicated is because you have to reach a majority, and no one now has a majority in the voting. The National Rally did very well, but it's short of a majority and would have to serve with another party or other representatives. And therein lies the puzzle. Mary, I've exhausted my understanding of French governance. However, I do add the fashion statement that Mr. Macron is said to be, one, isolated, two, a toxic brand, and three, in the strangest getup he's ever been seen in on the streets of Paris. This is a man who wears beautiful suits and is always well attired. He was out in a leather jacket, the kind that people wear on motorcycles when they're middle-aged. He had a scarf tucked up around his neck as if it was chilly autumn, and a baseball cap standing, and he was walking with his wife, who was equally encumbered by clothing. And as if you didn't know who they were, there were three huge security people walking behind them on the streets of Paris. So what to regard, how to regard Mr. Macron and how he's handled these last days, Mary?
Well, I think Emmanuel Macron made a large bet on calling snap elections after the European parliamentary elections. And I think he's losing his bet. The Fifth Republic has largely functioned as a kind of leveling mechanism, that the first round of elections, the voters would, you know, express their frustrations. And then in the second round, they would migrate to so-called establishment parties of the right or the left. And we haven't seen that here. I think the level of discontent with Macron and his character, his arrogance, has just boiled over. French voters have not seen a significant improvement in their economic circumstances. They've witnessed large swaths of immigration and a rise in crime and anti-Semitism. It's become a very actually unsafe place for Jews to live. That's a trend that's been accelerating for years now. And they're frustrated. I mean, Macron took office in 2017. And so he's had a long time to fix these problems, and he hasn't done so. And so instead of placing first or second, he placed third. And that has given French voters a very, I think, clear choice between Marine Le Pen's National Rally, which is appealing to cultural conservatism and patriotism, that placed first with 33% in the first round. And then on the left, the Popular Front, which includes very, very radical people, including the France Unbowed party of Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who is deeply anti-Israel, in fact, almost pro-Hamas, which makes him unelectable for many French voters. And so I think this is a significant election. I think it's probably the most significant election in the Fifth Republic. I think it will determine France's economic trajectory. I think it will have implications for other populist conservative parties. And in those elections, for instance, Nigel Farage's party in the UK, as you mentioned. And it could, you know, be a harbinger of what's to come here in the United States. Recall that, you know, Brexit happened before the election of Donald Trump. And I think that, you know, this could be a similar marker politically for Europe and for us.
We go to the British elections. As I understand the polling, which is understood as accurate, Labour will win a very large majority, right now, there are headlines suggesting that Rishi Sunak, the prime minister, who is head of the conservative vote, and the man who called the election for July 4th, is working to make certain that Labour doesn't enjoy a supermajority. What I know about Labour right now is that it's led by a man named Keir Starmer, who is non-transparent to me. I don't know much about him. I'll learn more. He's available to make peace in his own party, which is fractious. How to regard this vote, Mary, that we're going to see on July 4th? We have a couple of minutes.
I think it's just as much a failure of the Tory party as it is the success of Keir Starmer and Labour. The Tories have had more than a decade of rule. And like Macron in France, they just have not improved the lot of the average Briton. They're seen as labor light, and rightly so. They've raised taxes. They've gone all in on the net zero green agenda, although they've recently stepped back from that because it increased energy prices so much. They have done very little to integrate large swaths of immigrants that have come into the country. I mean, if you walk down Oxford Street in London, I mean, you'll see that very clearly. It looks different. It's much less safe. And I think the economic stagnation has resulted in frustration, particularly since it was the Tories that promised that they would take advantage of Brexit and that they would slim down government, that they would lower the tax burden, that they would do what they could to forge trade deals with friends. And they didn't do any of that. And so it's sad because I think when you look at the polling now, most Britons say, well, Brexit was a failure. Well, no, Brexit wasn't a failure. It was the Tory party that was a failure for not actually doing what they said they were going to do. And now they're going to suffer the consequences. You know, Fraser Nelson, the editor of The Spectator, a very keen observer of UK politics, he noted that when Canada's Reform Party crushed the Conservatives in 93, it took them almost 13 years to recover. They were in the political wilderness for a long time. And I think that can be true here, too, of the UK Tory party.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Madden.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,